I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to the Billboard Sharpie Podcast. Gary Trust, Billboard Senior Director of Charts.
And hey guys, it's Trevor Anderson, Chart Manager here at Billboard.
You know, With you, Trevor, I have enough reasons to feel old, pretty much.
You have enough reasons without me.
So our intern, Desiree.
Hey guys.
We were talking before, as we're taping this, it's Tuesday afternoon, so I'm excited. As a Red Sox fan, the World Series is starting tonight. This is posting on Thursday. I don't know what mood I'll be in by then, but I said to Desiree, I said, hey, the World Series starts tonight. She looked at me like, no, like I was completely different. You'd never heard of the World Series?
I've never heard. I thought of the World Cup. Like, I thought you were talking about soccer.
Interesting. I wonder. Okay, so obviously you didn't grow up in a baseball household.
Yeah, it's just not my thing. The most I know about baseball is Yankees, Mets, and Red Sox. That's about it.
You've heard of the Red Sox?
That's it.
Interesting.
And the Blue Jays, I just found out. That's Toronto Blue right. Jays.
Yeah.
That's it.
They say younger generations just aren't into baseball because it's a slower pace and means nothing to you, right?
Yeah. Like, who has all that time to just sit there and watch the ball go back and forth and, like, hope somebody hits it? Like, no, just, you know, let's get this over with. Who won?
You know, it's funny, and this is... obviously sidestepping music for a little bit. I think that's something that's kind of funny about all sports. I hear a lot of potential reform. Like, I'm a tennis fan, and there's some talk about tennis, like, you know, shortening those kind of games and sets because, especially because tennis is like a count up sport. So that like baseball, like
it's not based on the clock. It's,
right. You have to win at some point eventually. It's not. Yeah. You can't run it out like in football or soccer even or basketball. So some of these things, you know, they go on for 3.5, 4.5 hours and you don't know when it's going to start, when it's going to stop. And especially nowadays, I guess maybe was different when we were growing up where it felt like if there was one TV, you know, maybe dad decided what was going to be on. And now with so much competition from every device, Netflix, Hulu, you know, people are very much no longer having to stick to one particular, you know, 3-hour, 4-hour event.
Yeah, I think people are at least doing other activities while watching baseball. So as long as you're still watching, but at least they've heard of the World Series.
But I guess, you know, if you didn't grow up with it, maybe you have no attachment to it in the long run. So I'm sure this is not something that the commissioner of baseball wants to hear, but maybe this is, you know, maybe they got to make some reforms for the next generation.
Yeah, like just cut it down to like maybe like 3 innings.
Oh, okay. I'm sure the baseball purists are like, you got it. No. And if you have not sort of picked up the hint, we'll be joined, of course, by Desiree throughout the episode today. So we want to welcome her to her first official Chartbeat podcast appearance. She's been behind the scenes for the past couple of weeks, recording Gary and myself, which is no easy task. But this week, we're going to bring her in front of the camera a little bit. And of course, by camera, I mean microphone, because this is not a filmed show. But welcome, Desiree. Let's give her a little round of applause.
I'm going to hand you a sports section to prepare for baseball as we talk, Desiree.
I'm fired immediately.
All right. So Billboard Hot 100, we're going to talk about this week. Billboard 200, what's going on there? I want to get into a story I posted on billboard.com last week, too. It was Friday afternoon. It maybe got buried a little bit, but it's from our friends over at Hit Songs Deconstructed. They've been on the podcast many times. Dave and Yael Penn put out a trend report that shows R&B, hip hop, and pop have really changed places in the last 3 years. So if you go back to third quarter, late 2015, as compared to now, back then, pop was really running the top 10 of the Hot 100. Now it's hip hop. They've really switched places. So I'm just going to go back, we'll flash back a little bit and see where that change happened and why it's happened and maybe where it's going going forward. So we're going to dig into that coming up. We'll make our way around the charts this week, beyond the Hot 100 and Billboard 200. New number ones on country airplay. R&B mainstream hip hop has a new number one. Some other chart moves to go over. So we'll get into it all here.
And while today's discussion is going to center around hip-hop, we're also going to take a chance to wind back a little bit to a subgenre of hip-hop that was really running the streets and the charts. About 15 years ago, we're going to talk to Lil Jon, and we're going to look back 15 years of Get Low, which is really the song that brought crunk into the mainstream. So we'll hear about Jon, how the song was created, what producer in particular we all need to thank, because if it were not for a different producer, Lil Jon would have never cooked up the idea of Get Low. And of course, because it's Lil Jon, we have to talk Chappelle's Show. So all that's going to be coming up a little later, so make sure you stay tuned for that.
All right, right now, this week's top 10 on the Billboard Hot 100.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
I'm of the deep, I watch as I dive in.
Number 10. Number 9.
And I'm just a dead man walking tonight. But you need it, yeah, you need it. All of the time, yeah.
Too hard, don't stand too close. You gon' fuck around and drown. Off this way, doing all these shows.
Number 8.
I don't care where I go, long as I get paid. Bad little vibe, she been on my mind. Soon as I get back, she can slay. Do this all the time.
Back in high school, I used to bust it to the dance. Now I hit the FBO with duffels in my hands.
Number 7.
I did half a Xan, 13 hours till I land. Had me out like a light, like a light, like a light, like a light.
I want to see you smile. No, that means I'll have to leave.
Number 6.
No, that means I'll
have to leave.
Number 5.
Can't take back the love that I gave you. It's to the point why I love and I hate you, and I cannot change you, so I must replace you. Oh, easier said than done.
Turn Atlantic, night calling in a phantom. Told them hold it, don't
number
you panic.
Two.
Took an
yeah.
Island, felt the mansion. Drop the roof, more expansion. Drive a coupe, you can stand it. Bridges undercover. I'm an ass and titty lover.
Like you look on me, do what I want when I come through. I need
and number one.
Bringing us out once again, that is 5 weeks in a row. It is our friends Maroon 5. Hey, look at that. The song is Girls Like You, featuring our friend Cardi B, who, of course, as many people I'm sure by now have heard, dropped a new song today, Tuesday, called Money, that was supposed to be out on Thursday, but I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe somebody got a little too excited, maybe they just didn't want to hold it back, maybe somebody was going to leak it, and so they decided to beat the leak, whatever the case is. Cardi B back with a new song as well, so probably you'd have to think we'll make some sort of Hot 100 impact next week.
Yeah,
so a lot of Cardi coming around.
To get technical on it, it'll wind up being a midweek release, so it could kind of hurt her chances as opposed to having a first full week on the charts next week of tracking.
Or maybe Cardi B is that hot. Maybe we'll see that, you know, after just about 3 days, maybe she can get a number one debut because she's just that big. Who knows?
I feel like if anyone could, she could right now.
It'll be tough to overcome Maroon 5 in particular, because especially one thing that they seem to be just lapping the competition on is that radio song, Girls Like You, number one on radio once again. This is 13 weeks and counting. And if that sounds pretty big to you, well, that's because it kind of is. So 13 weeks, the most that we've seen by any act, you know, that's a man, woman, group, ensemble, circus, clown car, whatever. 13 weeks, the longest any song has been on top of radio songs since going all the way back to this. You're too young or not hip enough to remember that song. That is the ballad No One by Alicia Keys, which was a 14-week champ way back in its heyday of 2007 into 2008. So been over a decade since any song has been able to top the chart that long.
I feel like part of it is Girls Like You is certainly a good song, certainly deserving to be, at this point, the longest leading radio songs, number one of this entire decade.
You know, and I know it's always hard to judge in the moment. I mean, even among fans that I know, like people who really gravitate towards Maroon 5, and I don't know if it's because it's one of the more stable songs in this era where it feels like every 5 seconds somebody's put out something and it's not like a club banger and it's not, you know, sort of the hottest track in terms of sort of, you know, blowing up on SoundCloud or Spotify.
Part of it is, I guess you could almost say, lack of competition among other pop records at the moment, because hip hop is at such a huge moment. There isn't a whole lot of pop cutting through. So when you find a song like this that just sounds like it's totally made for radio, can fit on so many different formats, it's the safest thing to stick with if you're at radio. And it's not like there are a whole bunch of other songs from pure pop acts at the moment taking that spot. So they sort of found this song that is the pop record at the moment that fits so well. And at a time when there isn't a whole lot else that sounds like that, I think part of it is sort of like in sports, you would say, you know, the strength of schedule. It sort of benefits from it being in a weak division. In the pop division, it's sort of easily winning.
Yeah, I just wonder maybe, you know, in 10 or 15 years, because we'll probably all look back on this as sort of this streaming hip hop monolith, and that's probably what it should be. But it'd be funny, I guess, if you're just like sort of flipping through the book of number ones, and yeah, you saw Bodak Yellow, and you saw I Like It, and you saw God's Plan, and Nice for What, and then you see Maroon 5, and you're like, wait, what? Like in the middle of all this, like this? Okay, interesting.
Well, I'm the one who said, is Maroon 5 a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band? So I might not be as surprised.
That's, you're right.
So yeah, huge hit, biggest in terms of most weeks at number one this decade for any song on the radio songs chart. All right, so Maroon 5 just hangs on to number one. Actually, a really close race between number one and number two, but brand new at number two. You heard there in the top 10. ZZ debuts at number two, number one in streaming, number one on R&B hip-hop songs, number one on hot rap songs. Almost did it. Almost debuted at number one.
Yeah, I almost, you know, I know some people, of course, will be kind of upset and lament on the camp that it hit number two, but to me that's almost an overperformance. I did not expect this song to be that strong out of the gate. If you don't know, ZZ by Kodak Black, Travis Scott, and Offset, those are the three amigos on that track, and I guess it kind of plays into this triple sort of play that I didn't expect. Certainly on the Travis Scott front, 2018 really, you know, and I didn't think it was going to be quite this hot. Travis Scott really blew up in a way that I didn't necessarily see coming. I mean, we saw with Astroworld, still, you know, 10 months into 2018, the second biggest start of the year. Only Drake Scorpion was bigger. And, you know, I mean,
it's Drake.
Yeah, obviously Drake was going to be massive and dwarf everybody. But the fact that the album's been so strong and hanging on, you know, Sicko Mode is, of course, still in the top 10 of the Hot 100. And I think Travis Scott, you know, he'd been around for sure. He'd been on a lot of features, but I don't know if people expected his viability as a lead artist on his own tracks, on his own material, to be that hot. And so he's got all that currency going for him. So when he jumps on this song, of course, there's that attention. And, you know, and it's kind of the same way. I mean, Kodak Black, obviously, you know, is a big name, big in this new era of hip hop, but I don't know if people necessarily thought that Kodak had the muscle to pull these kind of streaming numbers out of the gate. We saw with Tunnel Vision, but that was about a year and a half ago. Of course, he's had the legal troubles since then and this and that. But, you know, number two is his, not only his best debut, but his best position he's ever been on the Hot 100. And, you know, if you'd asked me a week ago if that would have been the case, I would have not thought it would go this high at all.
When you talk about Cardi B, we can't talk about number two without talking about all these Cardi B tie-ins in terms of who performs on it. One's her husband, and one is the person who kind of named her first hit, Bodak Yellow.
You're right. There would be no Bodak Yellow, possibly, without Kodak Black. That's so true.
Right?
It's so true. It's so. I mean, I don't want to say it's like an homage to Kodak Black, but I guess, but it's certainly, he certainly laid the foundation for that. So you're right. And then, of course, Offset. Yeah, the over a year now, Offset and Cardi B been married. And she made a good note of that on her Instagram. If you have not seen, check it out. She screen captured the top 10 of the Hot 100 and circled her name at number one and Offset at number two and noted Mommy and Daddy Shark at numbers one and two. So the whole Cephas family up there in the charts. Soon we'll have to get Culture, maybe number three. And I think a lot of people, if you had asked them what was going to be the biggest debut of this week, they would have picked the song that comes in at number five. That is Bad Bunny, Drake. You heard it on the countdown. That is the song Mia, a song that I don't know if it had been sort of on the internet, but I know internally we've heard a lot about this for a while, that Bad Bunny and Drake had recorded together. Song debuts at number five on the Hot 100 this week, as mentioned. Also, if you have heard the song, you'll note that Drake is rapping in Spanish. That Spanish track gives it eligibility on the Hot Latin Songs chart, where it debuts straight at numero uno. And it's actually Drake's second number one on Hot Latin Songs. Fans may remember the track Oreo with Romeo Santos. That song was number one back in 2014 for 13 weeks.
So on the Hot 100, by debuting at number five, Drake, more history for Drake, his 12th top 10 on the Hot 100 of 2018. So it's his 32nd overall, but 12th of 2018. That is a record. He beats the Beatles, who had 11 in 1964. So a record that had stood for 54 years. Drake topples, and here we are in late October. So still a chance to maybe get more, but he's done it. So 12 top 10s in a year. New all-time record for a single year. We want to have good listenership to this podcast, right, Trevor?
Of course.
Jimmy Kimmel, he's figured out a way to get good ratings for his show, right? What's his big thing that he does? Other than he's on television.
Interviews, has famous people on.
We have famous people on. People come on and read mean tweets.
Oh, yes. Well, yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of segments I should have picked. But yes, mean tweets, a classic.
So I just happened to be on Billboard's Facebook page yesterday. And the story where we posted this of, you know, when you post a headline that says Drake beats the Beatles, something, obviously you're just kind of setting up that competition, and people on Facebook in the comments are just going to go back and forth on who's better. You get the people who are younger and grew up with hip hop are going to say probably Drake is better. Then you've got the people who've heard of baseball who are probably going to say that the Beatles are better.
Can't the man hold a grudge?
He can.
So can I read a few mean tweets? From our reader, who we love our readers, we're glad that there's passion, but can I read a few of these?
I wish we could have like a Drake voice who could, you know, overlay this.
Wait, let's can go. I read it? Mean tweets?
Yes.
Should we pass it around?
Yeah, we could pass it around. The Beatles made songs. Drake is just mumbling stupid texts with primitive arrangement.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I like the fact that it was so proper, but it was so insulting at the same time.
Ooh, interesting. The Beatles are the greatest musicians to ever walk to this planet. Drake is an, all caps, nowhere man. Drake is a nowhere man.
It's the name of a Beatles song.
That is, I mean, you, we can compare you to a Beatles song. That's, wow.
Well, I guess I should get this one since I wrote the story. This isn't Drake blowing his horn. It's a Billboard weenie editorial writer with nothing to do because there is no comparison.
They called you a weenie.
I'm a weenie. Such an 80s kind of an insult, isn't it? You don't hear someone called a weenie anymore.
It's such a childish insult, though, too. like a five-year-old will call you a weenie, and like that, you know, a kid's insult, that hurts worse than what adults do. Gosh, are you okay, G?
Well, yeah, but what are you?
Billboard, you should know better. Shame on you. How do you sleep?
Billboard never sleeps. That's why we're number one on 24/7. We got it covered.
Boom, boom, boom.
I think they get better, right?
Oh my God, so many haters on Billboard's Facebook page. The Beatles were loved by the generation, and Drake is loved by this generation of kids, including myself. Just acknowledge he's a great artist.
One more. Why can't people just congratulate him? Or keep your rude thoughts to yourself? He did that. He put in the work. Don't get me wrong, the Beatles did it too. They're both amazing artists in their own ways.
I like the fights better.
I know, it's not as fun, right? This way.
No, we got it. This is actually pretty good. We need to find some more of these at some point.
I don't think there's going to be a shortage of that.
Absolutely not.
When the sun goes down and the band won't play, I'll always remember us this way.
Over on the Billboard 200.
Lovers in the night.
Number one for a second straight week. The Star is Born soundtrack, Lady Gaga, Bradley Cooper. Pretty big in Gaga's own history. This is only her second album to be number one for multiple weeks. So Born This Way back in 2011 was a multi-week number one. Now she's done it again.
We got a new song parking right outside the top 10 this week. The song Trip by LMA, with the album out in particular as well, getting a nice boost there. Number 5 debut on the Billboard 200. So Trip might become her second top 10 next week out of two tries. Of course, Boot Up was the first earlier this year. So, I mean, what a great breakthrough year. You know, you couldn't ask for more from LMA. Top 10 album, top 10 single, maybe a second top 10 single coming as well.
And the song goes number one on the mainstream R&B hip-hop airplay chart.
It does. Radio really receptive to her. She broke the record already. Just first hit, breaks the record for most weeks at number one by a song by a female artist on the R&B hip-hop airplay chart. So Radio really a big fan of hers. And it seems like the momentum will only continue going forward. One other track to watch out for next week could make a big splash. So far, the returns for this Sunflower song, Post Malone, Sway Lee, looking pretty good. Of course, who would have guessed that Post Malone would have hits in 2018? Everybody. Post Malone just looking to continue that momentum that he's had all year, really since last year. And it seems like another hit potentially on his hands. This one from the soundtrack to the upcoming film Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So with that movie also backing, could definitely help out as well. Song's already, you know, debuted in the top 5 on Spotify. Stream's looking really strong. So that also could make a splashy debut next week.
Spider-Man song doing well on the web.
Y'all, somebody get him, please. I got to know where it comes from. Is this like, is this a gene you're born with? Is this a muscle you have to exercise?
You practice at home. You have to.
She got the best of me. She broke my heart, now all that's left to me is beating this guitar. Every night a different town, she follows me around. So you give what's left to me, yeah, you give what's left to me, 'cause she got the best of me.
Over on the country airplay chart, new number one, Luke Combs, She Got the Best of Me. Historic number one for this song. It's his fourth number one on the country airplay chart in as many tries. His first four singles have all gone to number one. That country airplay chart goes back to 1990. No soloist has ever done that before. No soloist has ever sent their first four hits all the way to number one. Only two acts have done that. Florida Georgia Line and Brooks and Dunn back in the early 90s. So now Luke Combs.
Oh, come on. Brooks and Dunn. I love them.
How are you? Talking about dances before with Desiree's Beyonce. Want to do a little boot scootin' boogie?
This is what a fun song.
Yeah. So yeah, History for Luke Combs. The only really comparable chart move was actually before the country airplay chart, when it was the country songs chart before airplay was monitored to get all technical. But Clint Black sent his first four hits to number one in the late 80s into the early 90s. So talking something that hasn't been done since Clint Black. It's like a generation ago. Luke Combs does that. And part of the reason, other than good songs, is he really tested a lot of this material with his fans. He's really in social media, in shows. He really cares what fans think. He talking about younger people, millennials, he's saying they don't want to wait for anything. They want to know that a song's going to be good. So he just tests his material. He's really in a dialogue, and not to be overconfident, but he says he kind of knew these songs hopefully would do really well because he'd talked to fans and they loved him. So not a huge surprise to him, but yeah, Luke Combs for making history on the country airplay chart. To meet you underneath the moon.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Other airplay chart news, John Mayer. He has his first top 10 in the adult pop songs chart since 2010. New Light hits the top 10 this week. So yeah, going back to 2010, the last top 10 he had on that chart was Half of My Heart, which featured and uncredited technically Taylor Swift. That's how long ago it was for a top 10 when he and Taylor Swift were together. This feels very uncomfortable all of a sudden that I'm bringing this up. Also new, Drake and Michael Jackson. They debut on the pop songs chart with Don't Matter to Me, latest radio hit from Scorpion. So in terms of everything going on about Drake, we're always talking about Drake and Scorpion. But 2018, Michael Jackson debuts on the top 40 pop songs chart this week.
It is interesting to me, you know, and I guess this is part of this new era where, you know, there's no such thing in a lot of ways as overconsumption, is that, you know, we've seen obviously what God's Plan, Nice for What, In My Feelings, Nonstop, and now Don't Matter to Me, all, and I'm Upset came out as well. Just all these Scorpion songs, just right. Kind of, you know, crossing on several different formats. Kind of reminds me of what Cardi B is doing too. I mean, we saw with her album, obviously Bodak Yellow was out, but she's had, features with No Limit, Motorsport, she had Finesse, then she had Be Careful, then she had Bardier Cardi, Ring with Kehlani. Now she's got this song Money out, and Money's not even on her album, and the album came out only 6 months ago, and it's just so crazy that, you know, you can just sort of just scatter everywhere and nobody feels like it's unfocused, or, you know, which one do we stick with, which one do we go, you know, which song do we work with or go away with. It's just, you know, you cannot have enough at this point. It's crazy.
So
So before we talked about pop and R&B, where they've gone in just 3 years, again, that story posted last week was based on a third quarter trend report that Hitsongs Deconstructed just put out. And it said how big hip hop is this year. No surprise from everything that we've been talking about this week throughout the year here on the podcast. But there was just one stat that really stood out to me, and it was how in the last 3 years, hip hop has totally ascended. And at the same time, pop has really fallen. So according to the report that Hitsongs Deconstructed did, Dave and Yael Penn over Hitsongs Deconstructed, in 2015, pop accounted for 49% of all Hot 100 top 10s. So basically half of all Hot 100 top 10s in 2015 were pop. Hip-hop, 13%. It's almost nothing. So it's 49 to 13% pop over hip-hop. It's totally flipped. Now, this year, hip-hop is at 63%. Pop is at 21%. So there's a lot of numbers, but pop has gone from 49% of all Hot 100 top 10s down to 21%, and hip-hop has gone from 13% all the way up to 63%. And that 63% is the highest total for any genre since Hit Songs Deconstructed has been tracking data going back 5 years. So all-time high over those 5 years for hip-hop. And again, pop is really the bottom has just fallen out. So I thought it'd be kind of interesting to look back at talking about third quarter 2015 is what it's being compared to. What was going on then as compared to now? Who was having these pop hits and where'd they go? And obviously, it seems more of an easy answer as to hip-hop. Where did it come from? Streaming completely exploded, and a lot of the hip-hop acts, other than Drake, who's been around for a decade, a lot of these acts are new. There was no Kodak Black. There was no, even a year ago, there's barely no Cardi B. So 3 years ago, we always talk about just how streaming has gotten so big, but maybe in some ways we forget about all the acts that have come along in 3 years.
Whew.
That was a lot.
And any questions?
Actually, 3 years ago today, on the date of this taping, October 23rd, so back in 2015, yeah, our lives were changed forever.
So it kind of interesting when you look at it this week, two songs that debut in the top five are ZZ and Mia. Obviously, one's a little more Latin than hip-hop, but yeah, hip-hop songs. The two songs that were debuting at numbers one and number two 3 years ago, Hello by Adele at number one, and Sorry by Justin Bieber, really doesn't get any more pop than Adele and Justin Bieber. Kind of interesting, Drake was at number three with Hotline Bling. So he was down from his peak of number two. So how different that is 3 years later. But you also had Bieber with What Do You Mean at number five, which was the previous single. You had Shawn Mendes with Stitches at number six. Taylor Swift with Wildest Dreams at number seven. And Fetty Wap was at number eight with 6-7-9, which kind of feels like more of a hit you'd have now.
I was just thinking about 6-7-9. Like, I haven't heard that song in a minute. Yeah. But what a great. Yeah, I mean, oh, for sure. You know, with how melodic everything is nowadays. I mean, obviously it was a big hit in its own time, but would have fit right at home here too.
But that and Hotline Bling, they were the only hip-hop songs in the top 10. You had two hip-hop songs. You had Our City featuring Adam Levine from Maroon 5 with Locked Away, a total pop hit at number 9. And The Weeknd, he had a couple songs. The Hills at number 4 and Can't Feel My Face at number 10. So you had a little R&B pop. You had pure pop. You had very little hip-hop. So what happened? So Adele, yeah, she never puts out albums. This happened to be the moment when she was back, had the huge hit Hello. Bieber had a great run with his album.
Even when you sort of look back at, okay, obviously you take Adele. She's doing her usual hiatus now. She came through, wrecked the field, you know, left some carnage in her wake, scooped up some Grammys, and, you know, flew back to England and said, thanks for, you know, thanks, see you in 3 years. Bieber, interesting, you know, I mean, if I guess anybody probably is gonna, I don't know, save pop music, if you want to say it in that kind of sense, in terms of the numbers and statistics. That next Bieber album for sure will be the one to watch. We're already 3 years out since Purpose. We've had, you know, Despacito and a lot of features, so we've got all that momentum going into it, so people are gonna watch that album like crazy. So there's kind of that. You look at Taylor, the Reputation, as you kind of mentioned, obviously still a huge, huge album. Maybe not gonna touch what 1989 did in the grand scheme of things. Of course, Ed Sheeran came along and he went to a new career high.
We said before how Cardi B came along, a huge superstar at this point. I'm trying to think off the top of my head of what big pop artist has come along in the last 3 years, kind of on that level as a new pop act. You know, we think about Ed Sheeran had a big breakout year after 2015. Ariana Grande has maybe gone to greater heights, maybe. Gaga's back. But what new pop name has really come along that's on the level of like a Cardi B or any of these hip-hop acts that have had such breakouts the last couple of years?
That level, I can't think of one. I mean, personally, I still think Cardi B probably the biggest like breakout maybe since Gaga, and that was a decade ago, just in terms of sort of
pop culture.
The whole pop culture, you know, question mark of, you know, of catchphrases, appearances, just everybody. Even if you didn't like Lady Gaga's music, you knew about her. You knew about the outfits and such and such. So I think Cardi's kind of in that same way. And I think maybe to the point that some people, especially when it comes to charts, are detracted by, maybe that helps these hip hop artists, is features. You can be on a lot of places at a lot at once, and just the volume. I mean, you see artists in hip hop put out, they may put out two albums a year, you know, two, three albums a year, a collaborative here, you know, a 20 track here, my own solo work there, a mixtape. But I mean, pop artists just start producing that much volume. And kind of to my point earlier, you know, there's no such thing as oversaturation in a lot of ways. So the more you can get out there, the more you can catch on. And, you know, for some of these pop artists who are sticking to this one album every 2 year cycle, you know, maybe it's just a question of volume as well.
The other thing is sort of a weird personal tie-in here, but you think about pop culture wise, pop music is generally upbeat and happy, kind of reflects the mood of the country. When Adele came back with Hello, a few of us went to, Adele played Radio City Music Hall, and this was, again, fall 2015.
A few of us went. So let's not scale this down. This is the one Adele NBC special concert. This is not the tour. This is the one where all the celebrities were. You know, this is like Adele's grand return, and Gary was there. I don't want you to undersell yourself. You got to see, like, the comeback concert.
Great show, obviously. But you know who's sitting a few rows behind me?
A man who is currently sitting at the top of the political power spectrum.
Yeah.
Let's also note that Gary was sitting in front of Donald Trump. So did you get better tickets than DJT?
I feel a 5 a.m. tweet coming at me.
I'll take it. For the numbers this podcast will get, I'll take it. I'll sacrifice Gary for the numbers,
Mood may be a part of it too, because we saw Katy Perry come back, who had been the face of pop for about the first half of this decade, put out Chain to the Rhythm, which was her political leaning song. And whether it was the song itself or whether it was the lyrical content, it just didn't quite go over. And at that point, we sort of saw a shift in pop music not quite connecting the way it had been this decade. So maybe part of it is artists who didn't come along to take the place of current pop acts, but also just the national mood, where pop music isn't maybe quite what people are craving right now.
And not to belabor this point, but I'll actually throw one more step further. I think when you look at sort of this social media culture, you know, and here we go, sort of diatribing, but I think a lot of people wonder about pop acts because, you know, one thing I think I'm learning with social media is people actually do enjoy authenticity. I think that's one reason why Rihanna is as, you know, as magnetic as she is, because people like that she's a real person.
Right.
You know, a lot of times people have sort of been trained or think that they have to sanitize themselves of anything, of any shred of personality, to be this quote unquote mass appeal type of individual. And I think, you know, more and more we're learning that's not necessarily the case. I mean, if you want to say, you know, Cardi B would be the complete antithesis of that. I'm sure there are probably publicists who told her forever, clean up your image. Don't say this, don't cuss in your interviews. You know, you don't need to crack all these jokes. Just talk about the music and talk about how happy you are to be there. And she's like, no, you know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be who I am. And people love her for that. People love Rihanna because she'll cut you to the quick. People love, I mean, even Beyonce, who's sort of this unapologetically who she's going to be, who she wants to be. And even, you know, when Taylor comes out and sort of breaks that mold to talk about her political opinions. I mean, yes, of course she got some flack for that from certain people, but I think overwhelmingly a lot of people embraced her and appreciated her for sort of being this 3D person that you don't have to sort of pretend to be not a person to appeal to people. And I think in hip hop in particular, a lot of people kind of are more real and more open to just being who they are and have no apologies, no regrets, aren't being coached and conditioned about that. And that's resonating too.
And you're saying at a time when everybody has an opinion about what's going on politically, we're going to be drawn more towards someone who's honest and unfiltered, as opposed to just a happy pop image that may be a little bit more fabricated.
Yeah, because and you know, it works on both sides, because you know who you hear people, and exactly to that point, no matter what side of the aisle you lean on, who is the person more than anybody you hear, I love that he's honest. I love that he's unfiltered. I love, see, it works. It works on any favor.
Person with bad seats at Adele concerts.
Yeah. But to that same point, that's what people loved about him. That's what people got riled up for. And so whether you're a politician, a celebrity, both, I guess, that is something that people are really craving for in this environment.
So, I mean, we've seen all kinds of trends. We've seen just in pop music over the last 25 years in the early 90s, hardcore rap really had a big moment, and pop sort of slipped as country and grunge got big, and pop didn't really recover until Backstreet Boys and NSYNC and Spice Girls came along. And then same thing in the early 2000s. I know we're about to talk about Lil Jon in a minute, but 2003, not a moment big for pop music. Really wasn't until Katy Perry and Lady Gaga came along years later. So, you know, there are times when other genres jump ahead and pop winds up, you know, playing more, it's called a turntable hits, kind of songs that sound pop but maybe just don't get the overall pop culture buzz. Kind of feels like where we are now. Pop music is just sort of taking a backseat to hip hop, and you know, streaming is new in the last few years. So you know, there's always been different forms of consumption, but historically there are ebbs and flows. So we don't know where it's going, but that's kind of what it feels like right now.
Well, but one of the interesting things too to watch out for is, you know, I think especially in that moment when hip hop used to be the most popular, if you want to say in that early 2000s period. I guess rap song was as sort of poppy as it got. I mean, nowadays we see people, you know, basically singing on their own tracks, certainly a lot more melody, if not outright, you know, trying to be a singer at some point. So when you merge those two concepts of, you know, hip hop and pop together, I wonder, like, and can they be unseparated? Like, if so much of pop is going to be influenced and driven by hip hop, I mean, it just seems interesting to think that, you know, it could a song like, I don't know, I Kissed a Girl or Just Dance or some of these sort of classic pop songs, can they come back? Or what is pop music basically going to be like after this era is done? I mean, yeah. Is pop changed forever? Is there always room for a sort of a standard pop song? I guess we're going to see. But I think you've never had the two genres be as close as they are now. And I wonder, it's just hard for me to think that they can mix and then just go back separately without any kind of, you know, permanent interaction or change between the two.
Well, yeah, you've got people now who were born into an era where it really was not so much the rock era, it's the hip hop era. So that should fundamentally change what pop music is going to be going forward. All right, so talking the early 2000s, as we talked about, going back to Lil Jon, huge hit back then, and I guess for the first time ever in my life, I'm going to say the word crunk.
What did you say during that whole era? Did you just bleep it out? Was it a bad word?
No, I was working in AC Radio. We were playing Vertical Horizon.
Like Michelle Branch?
Yeah, Michelle Branch. Vanessa
you
Carlton.
See how happy he got? Wow. Throwback Thursday for Gary. All right, well, we are going to keep it on the mainstream channel for 2003, and a song that was inescapable everywhere from the radio to the dance floor, certainly to any high school halls in America. That is the song Get Low by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys.
Hey, 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 all y'all scruples, y'all got to go. We taking over this club tonight. Lil Jon and the East Side Boys, hey, yeah, yeah, let's get this thing crushed.
Any song that is inescapable from the radio to the dance floor to any high school hall in America. We are talking about the song Get Low by Lil Jon and the East Side Boys. So we got on the phone with Lil Jon, and as one of the orchestrators of Crunk, and I guess Gary, you probably can pick something up from this, we wanted to know, what was it about Crunk that made it so special and such a moment in not only Southern hip hop, but just hip hop overall? So this, according to Lil Jon, is what makes Crunk Crunk.
Well, Crunk basically means, there's a couple of different ways to summarize it. I always tell people, like, when you turn the car on, you crank it up. And once it's crunk, once you crank it up and it's going for a minute, it's crunk. So that's where the word kind of comes from. But it really means, like, that's something to have a lot of energy. Like, so, like, you own, like, you popping, like, your energy level is off the hook. So you crunk. So crunk means energy. So it's having a lot of energy and just the utmost litmus is what crunk basically is. Right before you go crazy, that's what crunk is. But what makes crunk's music differently is like the production has to have energy before the vocals even get on it. So the beat has to make you go crazy. That's why we go crazy when we get in the studio and get on the tracks, because the beats have energy too. They amp us up and they make us get even more crunk on the track. So it starts with the track, and then the vocals you put on it. The vocals has just got to be some high energy vocals, and crunk songs normally. And crunk songs are like, they tell you what to do. You know what I'm saying? They're like, put your hands up, or push a motherfucker, or throw some bows. It's all about, you know, telling people something to do, or, you know, that's a part of it. But definitely most crunk songs, if not all, have chants in them. And that makes people like get riled up and turned up. It's the chanting also. So the beat and the chanting.
All right, now, pretty impressively, certainly maybe one of the first crunk songs a lot of people just coast to coast would have heard very well may have been Get Low. And oddly enough, we can thank a certain producer for that song, and I don't mean Little John. I mean the guy who inspired him to make Get Low. Another hip-hop classic really comes into the equation here. This is the guy, and this is the track, who very well, maybe you could say, maybe the godfather of crunk in some sense. It's Swiss Beatz. Who would have guessed?
The beat, I made the beat because I love the Party Up beat, DMX Party Up. I love that beat so much. I was like, I want to do a beat like that. So Get Low's track came from me trying to make a beat like Party Up. So that's my Party Up vibe. And I ended up, you know, I didn't make that type of song to it, but we ended up, you know, me and Ying Yang went in the studio and we came out with Get Low. And yeah, like we thought it was going to be a dope strip club record, basically, you know, a good twerk song. But I mean, we never would have ever imagined the song is still going. It came out in 2002 or 2003, and it's 2018, and I play that song in the club every weekend, and people are still seeing it like it's brand new. It's really crazy as an artist, as a musician, as a producer, that you can make something that never gets old.
So thanks to Swiss Beatz, Lil Jon makes Get Low. The song blows up all the way to number 2 on the Hot 100, stuck behind only Baby Boy, Beyonce featuring Sean Paul. And of course, Beyonce, I mean, that was her massive breakout year as well as a solo artist. So unfortunately, Lil Jon not able to get to number 1, but here is what he thought about coming in second place to Queen B.
Somebody got to be number 2, shit.
I mean, yo,
everybody can't be McDonald's. Somebody got to be Burger King. And Burger King ain't rich, dude.
I was going to say, and Burger King still get paid, so yeah.
Exactly. That's how I look at it. I don't give a fuck.
But if you don't know Lil Jon from Get Low, you probably most certainly I kind of like that.
Sounds like an alternative album title from the 90s.
Probably most certainly. Yeah, I could. Yeah. That's a very 90s. That's very good, very good. But you probably most certainly got to know Little John soon after that, thanks to an episode of Chappelle's Show where Dave Chappelle parodies Little John. Of course, the catchphrases are all there. I'm not going to imitate them right now. There's a storyline at one point where Oprah's pregnant with his baby. There's just a lot going on. If you have not seen it, check it out. Of course, Little John himself easily got wind of that. So here's what Little John thought about Chappelle's Show, how he actually ended up in one of those sketches, and what Chappelle's Show did for his profile overall.
Yeah, I watched Dave Chappelle. So Cypher Sounds is the homie. So Cypher Sounds was the DJ on the show. He hit me a week before the show aired and was like, man, Dave is doing this impersonation of you, bruh. It's hilarious. I said, what? Dave Chappelle doing an impersonation of me on his show? I'm like, what? You tripping, man. He's like, man, wait till you see this. I was in the studio. I remember I was in the studio recording, I think it was Kings of Crunk album. And I remember we was in the studio and he called me. And then the next week, I think I was still in the studio. We looked at it on TV and my jaw just dropped. I was like, wow. Like, Dave Chappelle was the biggest comedian at the time and the hottest show on television at the time. And he's doing an impersonation of me. Like, this is crazy. You know, and he played the song in the show, the first sketch. Played I Don't Give Up on the show. Like, I'm like, wow, this is, I can't believe this, you know? And then the sketch, you know, he did a couple other ones. And then I just went to the show to say what up to Dave one day and to thank him for doing the sketch because I knew, you know, that was major. And, you know, I kind of saw where I actually hadn't, no, let me see. Did I start to see? At that time, I probably started to get people to come up to me in the airport and all of that from the sketch. But, so I went to the show to say hello to Dave and then thank him. And then he was like, hang out for a little bit. You can jump in the sketch. So I was there on set. We did one sketch that never made it. And then he had the idea to do the Lil Jon talking to Lil Jon. So got to be in the sketch with him on the show also. So it's like, man, that was just a legendary moment for me, to be able to sit there and comedically ad-lib with someone. And then those, the ad-libbing that we did back and forth turned into a sketch on the show. Is like, man, like, I just felt so blessed and I was just so thankful, you know. I remember being in the airport and a white family came up to me, little kid, mom and dad, grandparents, and they all knew who I was because they watched the Dave Chappelle show. So it took me to places that music, like, they might not never listen to my music, but they knew me from the Dave Chappelle show. So basically it put me in front of people that wouldn't listen to my music or might not like my music, but they liked that sketch. They liked the character in that sketch.
And flash forward to 2018. If you're in Las Vegas, Lil Jon has an extended deal with Hakkasan Nightclub. So if you're around the city, make sure you check him out. Of course, he plays Get Low in his sets because how can you have a dance floor in Las Vegas with Lil Jon and not hear that song? All right, so our thanks to Lil Jon for taking us back in that little time machine. I know maybe for Gary this was not his sound, his moment, but, you know, as somebody who was back in just wee old grade school and this song came out, you know, it's always fun to reminisce about some of the songs that really, you know, shaped your world when you were in your teenage years.
Want to hear Michelle Branch?
Cool. All right, so we'll talk to you next time on the Trump B podcast. We, of course, will be keeping our eyes on the number one race. We know is really close this week with ZZ coming just a hair short to Maroon 5. We will see if Maroon 5 can hold on for a sixth week with Girls Like You and Cardi B, or if ZZ, of course, can keep challenging for the number one spot. Maybe some competition from Travis Scott in another sense, with the Sicko Mode video having come out last right. Friday.
Yeah, it should make actually a pretty good gain in streaming. I think that's really something to watch for maybe potentially number one next week.
All right. Well, if Travis Scott couldn't get it this week with helping out Kodak and Offset, maybe he'll just have to do it himself next week.
Michelle Branch, wrapping us up. Is that just...
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.